we started, I guess, several Sundays ago. Doesn't really matter. Talking about 10 truths of marriage. I think we got through three, so it must have been 3 weeks ago. But I'm going to pick up on the third one again. And these are things I've learned by being married. Let's see if I can say it right this time, 36 years. The first time I said like three times, 36 times, and everybody starts laughing. And so, man, that would be terrible. Can you imagine the alimony checks? And so, but anyway, married 36 years. Praise God, 36 and a half. Here's my beautiful wife back there in the back row. I started calling her my treasure or gift because it says in Proverbs, he who finds a good wife has found a treasure. And so that's good. I was kidding with her. I said, there's nothing about finding a good man in the Bible. I don't know if they're just hard to find and he didn't want to get false hope up or if all men are just by default good. You know, I'm not going to go there on that one, but that might be it. Looking for it. And so the first truth, just throw it out there. You can go to, we got it on podcast, YouTube channel, and then our website, these, if you want more. But a nation's foundation is marriage. A strong country is strong people who know how to hear their God. And then they get together in the first institution that God put together, marriage. And it's two strong people who know, both know God, start loving each other as God loves each other in the Trinity and starts living that way, first to God, first, then to each other. And then they have kids, and then that throws in a mix, and you teach them to hear God. But strong families produce strong churches produce strong communities produce a strong nation, wherever you're at. And that's why the devil, and he has succeeded in America, of redefining marriage. God only defines marriage one way, a male and a female. You know, he'll let people do whatever they want to do. But even sociological studies of non-Christians shows that stable societies is the traditional marriage. So don't believe the lie that we're just old-fashioned, archaic. History is on your side. And as you love your spouse and stay committed to your spouse, even as Tiffany was sharing about these foster kids, it may not be the best marriage, but it's better than anything that else is out there. And it produces a stability as we both follow after God and love each other. And the second truth, marriage's foundation is unconditional love. And parallels what God is towards us. I can't tell you how many times, just once in 36 years, so just one time, where I got mad at my wife and I was like, why won't she do this? Have you ever done this with your spouse? Why won't they do this? Or why won't they do that? Nobody's looking at their spouse. Everybody's being quiet. Just one time in 36 years. God will forgive me later. And so one time I do that and he said to me, he goes, that's what you do to me. And I still love you. I'd like for you to change, but I still love you. And he said, you need to love her, and I'm sure she's done it more than once with me, probably 100,000 times. He said, you need to love him, or you need to love your spouse unconditionally as I love you. You change what you change, you believe for the best, but you're mirroring me and what I do with you. Boy, that wrapped my world around. He was like, would you want me to respond to you as you want to respond to your spouse? No, Lord, I don't want to do that. And so it increased in me the ability to love unconditionally. You have to do this with your kids, don't you? When they first come out and they're cute and cuddly and everything's all right, I mean, you're just falling in love. But my first child had colic for 3 hours every night for 9 months. And of course, if you've had kids, you know they don't know what causes colic or what gets rid of colic. The only thing we found was she would stop crying if you rode her around holding her in a car. Well, that's dangerous. So we rode around our little subdivision in the back seat like 15 miles an hour. And she was fine for 3 hours every night. And of course, somebody would have to hold her and somebody would have to drive. So it's sort of, we actually got some talking time in and forced talking. So there were times I'm like, This kid, I'm glad they're my kid. Y'all know where I'm at. But I had to up my game on unconditional love. And just, you know, because there's something else you'd rather be doing. But it was good for me. And the Lord says, as you walk in unconditional love towards your spouse, towards your kids, you are showing a picture of me to the world, and it's also growing in you the unconditional love I have for you. And it does. Sometimes it's a little painful, the iron sharpens iron thing, but it calls me to grow and become more of a man of God in all of these situations. And he says, I want your marriage to reflect the Trinity. Got three people, not that was only two in a marriage, okay, don't get weird on me. But you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They've got different roles, but they support one another. And that brings us into this third point that we started, and I want to probably just hang here tonight today because of time. Truth number three, marriage's purpose is companionship. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So wives, if your husbands ever get aggravated at you, you go, you really can't live without me. It's from the very beginning. Down deep inside, we and you are made for companionship. There is some teachings in the body of Christ because of a verse later on that talks about be fruitful and multiply, that the purpose of marriage is to have children. That is a byproduct. Nobody's going to argue that. And it's a great thing, and we want to be fruitful, and we want to multiply. But I know in Susan and I's life, we were infertile. We got three kids now, but we were infertile for the first 10 years. Well, were we missing out on the purpose? No. I think companionship is a higher purpose because eventually, God willing, the kids leave. We promote them unto their destiny. We're not getting rid of them. Well then, are you purposeless the rest of your life? No, I believe companionship is the thing. Now, Genesis 2:24, I think is a big thing on companionship, or at least it works for me, maybe not you. Therefore, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they will become one flesh. In the King James, instead of joined, it says cleave. Have you ever heard that word? You only see it in the King James. You know, I've never gone up to my wife and go, I cleave to you. But it would be biblical. But there's two words here, leave and cleave. Now, why am I bringing this up? Is in my marriage counseling, or every once in a while, it happened once in 36 years. If you've ever been married, you go, why did I do this? What did I get involved with? And your brain starts drifting. I should have chosen this other person or gone this route or been single. Am I the only one that thought that one time in 36 years? You thought it once. Good. Me and you need counseling help. And so what happens is many people, and I counseling people, this question, that what I just said, that scenario comes up all the time. And what I tell them is you did not take the leave seriously and the cleave seriously. The marriage vows that somebody said over you, they're almost universal, for better or for worse, richer or poor, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm just telling you today, make the shift and go, this spouse is the primary number one person in my life till death do us part. I'm not going to second guess. This is the person God gave to me. Even though they may not be the person we thought we were dating, it's the person God gave to you. Just leave and cleave. Leave your mom and father. I mean, one of the worst things I see in marriage is this battle between mother-in-law and wife or whatever. There's scenarios all over the place. And that one of the spouses sort of waver, just give it up and go, I'm with this person the rest of my life. I'm not with you the rest of my life. You got married. You did your own thing. I'm leaving and cleaving. You've got a role, but you're not in this role. And I'm telling you, just make that shift in your brain. It just causes a closeness more to come in. It causes a companionship more to come in. and go, I am going to make this the best thing that is possible. And what you're doing is, when you say, I am with you, you leave your old way and go a new path. It just causes, I'm committed. When you're committed to something, you're not going to leave when it gets hard. You're not going to leave when there's something easier. So let's talk about the number fourth one. We'll just start barely jumping in here. Your spouse compliments you. They don't complete you. We won't get through all this today. Now, the word is, I don't know how to say it differently. It's not compliment like I give you a compliment. It's C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. They compliment you. They fill in the pieces that you don't have. Genesis 1:27 and 28. Let me throw out something to you that you might have heard. And after you hear this, you might not want to hear it again. But it'll explain a lot. Genesis 1:27 and 28. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So follow my logic here. Eve was not created here. If you look at the verses on each side, He created Adam. And He says, when He created Adam, male and female were inside of Him. I had a question recently at a place called Hope. Is God the Father a woman? That's a common thing going around. And I said, no. He's male and female. He's really above all of that. He's not male and female like we are. But He had all the characteristics in Him because of this verse. And He put all the characteristics in Adam. And even though He had all the characteristics in Adam of male and female, He was still alone. I often wondered, why didn't He make Adam and Eve at the same time? I've not really got a good answer for that, except to show man he needs somebody else besides himself. I hate to say this, but men tend to sometimes be the neediest, but think they are the least neediest. And all the women, that was a good time to say amen, and you just missed it. It's too late now, but it's a good one. It's just a general characteristic, huh? And so, so when He created Eve, and you know the story, put him to sleep, pulled a rib out of his side, not from the bottom of his feet or the top of his head, to walk beside. I think that's a indirect reference to companionship, walking together, pulled out. Now, I believe you can't really say it much more than this. We're not going to make a doctrine out of it. But I believe He pulled out the female components that came from God that He put all in Adam and gave it to her. And that's why guys are attracted. I'm not talking about just physically, but you know, when you're dating, just subconsciously you go, I need that, what's in them. And besides difference in personalities, women tend to be more mercy givers, more nurturers generally. Sometimes it's flipped, and I've seen it in men and women. Men are a little bit more, this is our purpose, this is our direction. Anybody that says we're the same, that is another lie that has permeated our society. And when they say that, I'm like, you've either never been, if it's a man, you've either never been around women, or if it's a woman, you've never been around men, or you're just blatantly making up junk. Because all it takes is one date. Well, with one person, you just think they're different. But one date with like three women, you go, they're all the same. Or the men, they're all the same. And we are made differently, and it's on purpose. And we want to celebrate the difference. I love women. No, that don't come out right. I love the concept of women. You are like men. And so they just got differences. And it's better to embrace them and realize together we complete each other or complement each other. It's the same way in the ministry. We believe women can minister along with men. When I minister with a whole group of men, it's good. But when women's mixed in there, it's even better. It's just a different side, a different aspect. And anyway, so as we walk through this, is to realize they compliment you. Now, I'm going to throw this out, and it's not common teaching in the South or Christianity, but this is what I believe. And you take it before the Lord. If it witnesses, fine. If not, just go, he's missing it on this one. Maybe he'll get better next week. Is I see marriage like a baseball team. Say I'm the catcher and Susan back here is on first base. There are places where we overlap in our mission and in our purpose. We're on the same team. We're trying to win this game. But she does have a different position than I do. And at times, I'm doing my thing, and she's there or watching or hanging around or cheering me on, but I can't play first base and she can't play catcher. But we're on the same team. She supports me as catcher, and I support her as first base. You fill in whatever makes sense. And what I was talking about with traditional Christian teaching, it's like the woman doesn't have a calling. She just fulfills and helps fulfill the guy's calling. And I've just found that's not really true. They both have callings. And it doesn't have to be in the church. It could be in business. It could be in the family. It could be in education. But we come together. My gifts can help her play first base better. Maybe it's just encouraging her own. And we come back and say, well, how was the game? How do we play? And that's how I see it. And I see that in the scriptures. It's like my mom here, up here, the white-haired woman with all the wisdom. I can't think of what color you have. If I say blue, the women are going to tell me, no, that's green. If I say green, then they're going to say it's chartreuse or something else. I don't know. Teal, there you go. And so that's just women can see colors better than me, or maybe it's just me. But anyway, my mom's calling was, still is, a teacher. Taught for decades and all different things. Traveled around the world teaching in ministry. My dad's calling was not that. His was in business. He was a construction general contractor. And so they had to figure out how all that fit. And you didn't want my dad teaching because he didn't have the gift. I mean, he'd share some. And you didn't want her trying to build a house. Amen? But they complimented each other. And they you're to encourage each other and put each other on. And so this is a concept to realize we're two people standing before God. Galatians 3:29 says there's neither male nor female in the Spirit, slave or free, rich or poor. He gives his gifts to everybody. And when you come together and get married, you do complement each other. I'm bivocational, if you're not familiar with that word. It means I don't get paid by the church. I work two vocations, one I get paid for to support my hobby or my passions, more than a hobby, of being a minister. And so you can imagine raising three kids, working 40 hours a week, plus doing the church. It is just hard. My major calling is a fivefold calling. Hers was not. That doesn't mean she can't teach. She can't do different things. She has the gift of serving and giving. Well, it complimented me perfectly. She would do a lot of the stuff behind the scenes at the church. She does the nursery and the kids that makes us look good, but she's behind the scenes. So she's in her mode. I'm in my mode. I praise God for her mode. She praised God for my mode. But we work together, and that's the compliment thing. Let me just throw this out and we'll end and pick it up again next week. Genesis 1:27-28. This is the fruitful and multiply verse. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Now this is for Eve. You go back and read, was birthed. And he keeps calling them. Even then, he saw both sexes in Adam. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so women are called to be fruitful and multiply too, not just in bearing kids. And so I just release you in that, not in, you know, being uppity, as they often say. I hate it in church. They go, well, that woman's getting uppity. Well, maybe you're just intimidated because she's following God. Maybe not. I don't know. Depends on the circumstance. But you're released not to work above the man or work below the man, but to work together. And there's a book out there in the lobby across from the Keurig cups. If you want to walk through the doctrinal issues, I wrote a little 40-page book on the three major verses, Can Women Minister to Men? And maybe it'll minister to you. Because we need all of the gifts and all of the callings. And they're not all in the ministry. I mean, it could be all different kinds of places. So once you stand, and I'm just going to pray over you, bless you, pray for your marriage, and appreciate you guys. It's been a good service today. Hopefully the worship touched you, and these stories of what's going on in the community is just awesome. And I don't know if we do this every week, but that's amazing. Just in this one week, and I applaud you guys for taking your gifts and talents wherever you go. And so I've got Sunday night with Amy's group, Tuesday night, group by lead. You're welcome to jump in. And then all the Compassion House classes, I can't even quite keep up with all of them. They're Tuesdays at 6. And somehow I know we've got to figure out how to advertise it better, but I haven't figured that out yet. But Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here, whether they're single or married. If they're single, you have a calling on their life, and they're not limited because they're not married. There's so many reasons why that they have a calling on their life. And I pray, Father, that you're going to bring other people along beside them in different avenues to complement them, that they work in a team. Because it's all about a teamwork. We're reflecting the teamwork of the Trinity. The Father does his stuff. Jesus does his assignments. The Holy Spirit does his assignments. They're not competing, but they're complementing. So, Father, I pray for every marriage here, that wherever areas they need to work smoother together, that you're going to show them how to do it. And, Father, we do, any people that have not fully left and joined, we say, work those things out in our soul. Work those things out so that we fully believe that this twosome is a team and we have each other's back. And I thank you for the great things that you're doing through them and the callings they have, whether it's to their family or work or wherever it is. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray the Father's blessing on them as they go out. In Jesus' name.